Morning, everyone. Yeah, my name is Rich. I'm over at Holy Cross in Hove, and it is lovely to be with you. Thank you so much for having me. Children, it's lovely to see you down here. You're going to need to see me and the screen. There'll be some pictures. You can see one already down there, okay? And it's a joy to be able to kick off a new series for you. You're starting a series today, and you're going to be asking the question over the next few Sundays, what is God like? What is God like? And you know, there are lots and lots of different ideas to that question. There are all sorts of people that think different things. Some people think that God is like a robot God. So he keeps the universe going like a machine, but he doesn't really have any feelings. He's not someone we can really know personally. And then there's police officer God. Well, he wants you to keep the rules, and he's ready to punish you as soon as you get something wrong. Or there's, I like this one, sloth God. And he's just not doing much at all. He's just chilling out in heaven, looking down, but not involved. Or there's cloud God. He's an old man miles away in the sky, and he's so big and so powerful and so far away that he's not really interested in little me. And then there's Mr. Grumpy God. And he's just a fusspot. He disapproves of so much happening here. He's just not much fun. There are lots of ideas about what God is like. But you know, Jesus can tell us what God is like because Jesus is God. And in Luke 15, Jesus tells a story to show us what God is like. And the answer is, well, I think a bit surprising for some people, and maybe some of us will find it's surprising. We're going to go and see that as we go through. I want us to see two things this morning, okay? Two things, and we're going to have a song in between each thing. Here's the first thing from Luke 15. God looks for lost people. God looks for lost people. Now, I'm really good at losing things. And one of the things, in fact, we all do in my family, is we always lose our TV remote controller. And it was only this weekend that we finally bought something to stick on our wall so that we can hold our TV controllers, because we keep losing them. Well, Jesus tells three stories or parables in this bit of Luke, all about something that was lost. And we're going to focus on the first story, which is all about lost sheep. Although it's not really about sheep at all. It's about people and about God. The people are the sheep. So who can give me a really good sheep impression? One, two, three. Bah! I should have said that's not just for the children. One, two, three. Bah! There we go. Have a look down at the very first verse that in our passage. Jesus is speaking. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus is with bad people. It's like inviting the school bully or the robber round to your house. And the Pharisees, they're the good people, the religious people, and they grumble. Why is Jesus hanging out with people like that? You see, they thought they were better than the others. They thought they were okay because they did religious stuff. But here's the thing, whether we're good or bad or religious, we're all sinners. And Jesus calls it being lost. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you, there he is. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Now, I've got some sheep in a bag here. I haven't got 100 because I couldn't manage that many. But I have got 5. Okay, I've got five sheep, and I wonder if you can count them with me. One. Two, although that could be a dog, but it is a sheep. Three. Oh, I didn't have five sheep, I had four sheep, I've just realised. I'm missing one. Just to clarify, I thought I had five, but I actually had four, but now I've only got three. So two are missing, don't know where the other one is. I've lost one of my sheep. And the Bible says that we are all like my lost sheep. We wander away from God. We think, I'm all right. I don't need God. I can do life on my own. And we may call it freedom, but the Bible calls it lostness. The sheep in the story, they need the shepherd to find her. See, she doesn't just decide, I'm going to make my own way home now. She doesn't get out Google Maps. She doesn't call for an Uber or a Uber, E-W-E. Poor Fluffy doesn't know that she's lost. And many people, maybe some of us, don't know that we're lost. But wonderfully, Jesus is the shepherd in the story who looks for us. Verse 4 says this, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? So children, do you know what I want you to do for me? I want you to go and find my lost sheep, which is somewhere in this building. You may even find the second one that's gone missing. Go and find it. You have to get on your feet. You won't be able to find it. Keep going. My eldest son has hidden it really well. Go find the sheep.
I think
he's in that bag. He's not in that bag. Who can find the sheep first? You've got the sheep. Brilliant. Come and prove it. Let's have a round of applause. Who's bought the sheep? Well done. You found the sheep. Should we put her back up here? Oh, look, I've got all my sheep back now. There we go. The man in the story, he does what all of you have just done. He looks everywhere, the rocks, the bushes, the cliff edges. He looks until he finds his sheep. But you know, he's got another 99 sheep. It's a lot of sheep. Why make the effort for just this one? Well, it shows how precious each of us is to God. He's made us. He loves us, and he will do everything to find us. And he does that by sending Jesus. See, when we trust in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and God brings us home back to himself. Later on, we hear in Luke Jesus saying, "For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came to seek and to save the lost." You know, when I'm looking for my TV controller at home, I look for a bit, maybe under the odd sofa cushion, but pretty quickly I stop and give up. And you know, we did have one controller that we lost, I reckon, about 5 years ago, and we still don't know where it is. It's a good job the TV came with two remotes. But God never gives up looking. He never stops trying to find us. Like the man in the story, he goes after us until he finds us. And so before we sing, I just want to say four things about how what we've seen so far, what it teaches us. Firstly, if you're not trusting in Jesus, you need to know that he says you're lost. You're walking away from God, but he wants to reach out and find you. And secondly, if you are trusting in Jesus, remember that you were lost and helpless. You can do nothing to be found. Number three, understand that God is relentlessly loving. That's a long word, isn't it? It just means he keeps loving and keeps loving and keeps loving you. So much that he has gone after you in Jesus. And number four, know that you are precious to God. He didn't even spare his son for you so that you would be home with him. Isn't that good news? We're going to think some more about Luke 15 in a minute. But first, are we going to sing? Is that right? We're going to sing a song. What song are we singing, Bonnie? Brilliant. We're going to sing, "Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands." Brilliant. Let's stand and sing together. Excellent. Should we sit back down again then? And hopefully we're going to get the pictures back up. There we go. We've seen so far that God looks for lost people, which is really good news, but I think this is even cooler. Here we go. Oop. Second thing, God parties when he finds people. God parties when he finds people. Now, who found the sheep? Who found the sheep? How did you feel when you found the sheep? You felt happy, didn't you? Let's find out how the shepherd in the story felt when he found the sheep. Verse 5. And when he finds the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Look at that. Isn't that lovely? The shepherd is more than happy to carry little Fluffy all the way home. He doesn't mind if she's a bit heavy. He's just so happy that he found her. Imagine him smiling. He's full of joy. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I've found my lost sheep." The man has a street party. He invites his neighbors, "Share in my joy. Celebrate with me." You know, joy, it's one of those funny words. We don't quite fully know what it means, but it's a bit like being happy, but a bit stronger than that. So can everyone give me a really big smile? That's kind of happiness-ish. Can everyone now give me a big woohoo? Woohoo! That's more like joy. It's a deep, lasting, excited, super happiness. And that's how God feels when he finds lost sinners. And so verse 7, Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good news that God isn't British? This isn't a light, a round of applause. Oh, jolly good. That's terrific. He has a street party and the angels in heaven are invited. He celebrates with all the heavenly beings when one person repents. That means they've stopped walking away from God and they've started trusting Jesus. I wonder what God thinks of the things that we celebrate. I wonder what God thinks when we have a birthday. I reckon he kind of, maybe it's a fist pump. Yes, another year of life that you're celebrating. Or what does he do? What does he think about a wedding? Well, it's probably a bit more than a birthday. Maybe it's a yes, because marriage is so precious to God. Or what about then after that an anniversary, which is even bigger than just one wedding day? Well, maybe God's like this, woohoo! Because it's another year where a husband and a wife have been faithful together and to each other. But how does God feel when someone trusts in Jesus? I think he does this. Yes! Come on! Woohoo! Can you help me? Woohoo! Can you help me? Woohoo! Before I lose my voice. I think it might be a bit more like that. And so, what is God like? Here's what may be surprising. God is joyful. God is joyful. And that's not at all like what we said at the start, is it? God's not a robot God. He's not a machine with no feelings. He loves us and wants us and rejoices when he finds us. He's not a policeman God. Not waiting to punish us as soon as we break the rules. No, he finds joy in rescuing us, knowing that in our lostness we can't even keep the rules. And he's not a sloth God. He's not doing nothing, just chilling out up there. He's actively and passionately involved, finding joy in rescuing people. He's not a cloud God. He's not too distant and too big and too powerful to bother with little us. No, he comes close and comes looking for little us because the thought of rescuing us and having us brings him so much joy. And he's not a Mr. Grumpy God. He's a God who parties and celebrates even more than I just did then over people who trust in Jesus. He's a God of joy. And so to give us a tiny, tiny, tiny glimpse of this, we're going to have a quick party. Should we give out the, we've got some party hats, we've got some party hooters, we've got some party rings. And we're going to have fun. And children, do make sure some of the adults get some. They look at them, they're desperate to party with you. I can just tell it on their faces, full of joy. And why don't we not? We won't blow the hooters until I tell us to, and then we will stop blowing the hooters when I tell you to. That's a really, really important thing, I think. Okay? Oh, good. Kendricks have got the party gear. Well done. Okay. Okay. Is everyone wearing their party hats? Put your party hats on. Shall I grab a party hat? Can I grab one of these? Yes, sir. Thank you. There's loads there, isn't there? There we go. Oh, Barney, what size did you order? Right, here we go. Okay, we're gonna try and make as much noise. And if you haven't got a party hat, you can pretend somehow. Okay, and we're gonna go 1, 2, 3 and blow our hooters. Are we ready? Have we got them? 1, 2, 3, party! Woo! Keep it going. Yeah! It's gonna be better than this in heaven, I'm sure, but wow, party time! Keep going! And stop. I think a really good place for your hooter to be now would be in the hand of your adult, okay? Unless you're an adult, in which case, be responsible. That's just a little glimpse of what goes on in heaven. Just a tiny scratch, isn't it? Of the joy that God has. Now, children, while you tuck away at your party rings, I'm just going to say a few things to wrap up to the rest of us that are able to sit still without biscuits. You see, remember, we need to read this in context, okay? And the context is verses 1 and 2. The self-righteous Pharisees think that they're okay with God. And they hate that Jesus is hanging out with sinners. You may think that you're okay with God, trusting in yourself. You need to hear again that Jesus says you are lost. And you need to hear that God will not rejoice in your own good deeds or religious efforts. If you are trusting in Jesus, here's four more things, okay? First of all, we need to see the danger of still being like the Pharisees. Perhaps you're prone to look down on your nose at people who are a bit different. You kind of think that they're just too lost. You don't really belong with us. Why would God rescue you? Or perhaps, maybe more likely, we forget that people are even lost in the first place. I don't reckon that those 99 sheep were standing around going, oh, did you notice one's missing? And maybe we can get a bit cozy with our own flock, as it were. And we forget that there's a whole bunch of people out there who are lost. And so number 3, how wonderful it would be if we shared God's heart for the lost. God doesn't need to sleep, does he? But if he did, this would be what got him out of bed in the morning. Imagine if that was true for us. If what drives us and excites us most of all in life is the thought of people out there who don't even know they're lost coming to trust in Jesus. And number 4, will you rejoice? Rejoice. Rejoice when God finds even one lost person. We're in the habit, aren't we, of having birthday parties and wedding parties, but maybe we should have repentance parties. Celebrate with God when he celebrates a sinner coming home. Rejoice that he's found you if you're trusting in Jesus. The Pharisees grumble and say, Jesus opens his arms and welcomes sinners. But isn't that good that it's true? Rejoice that he's found you. And rejoice that God is a God of joy. Our God is not what we so often think. He's a happy God. A God who parties. There is joy in knowing our great God of joy. Let me pray for us. Thank you, God, that this is what you're like. You love lost people so much that in Jesus you come looking and you look and you look until you find us and you save us through the Lord Jesus. And thank you when that happens, you delight and rejoice. Would we find joy in knowing you, our God of joy? And would we rejoice when you rescue even just one? And would we share your heart for the lost, that we might be about looking for lost sheep and showing them Jesus so that they might come home? In his name we pray it. Amen.